Janet was talking about this last night. We were studying James, and somehow you end up in Colossians, you know. You know, you start at one verse, you end up all over the Bible. You know, it's kind of like having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you know, because all of these books, God wrote them all. He dictated them all. You know, he dictated all of these books. Yes.
What led into this is that we're talking about the law of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is how you enter into the law of liberty.
Amen. That's good. So he says here in Colossians 3:16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. So, everybody just kind of write that one down, Colossians 3:16 and 17, and go home and just meditate on that all this week, okay? Go ahead and read that, meditate. I know if you're a Christian, you've read it 20 times. You've read it a number of times. But, you know, what I find is, in fact, what you might do is what I did, is you might go down and get a pencil and get your little notepad and write it down. Write it out. Write these words down. Okay? And what happens is when you begin to write things down, I don't know, it's God worked out your... Now, some people may do this better, more than others. But when you write things down, it gets more into your heart. It gets more into your mind. You just, you know, you're not only reading it, you're writing it. You know what you could do? Boy, if you're really ambidextrous, you know, if you really know how to do a bunch of things at once, you could actually say it out loud while you're writing it and listen, and then you're listening, reading, writing, and hearing. You know, well, listening, hearing. So all these senses are going, and God is putting His Word on the inside of you. You know, that's powerful. Steve?
I think, for me, that's one of the great things about listening to Jim on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in the voice I'm hearing, this is somebody who's been through all of the things that you can hear a lot of different experiences other than just the one he happens to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Amen. That's so good. Yeah. Being able to listen and hear is so powerful. And as we look here, and then not only that, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let that word dwell in you. It's give it an opportunity, first of all, which is open the Bible, read it, listen to it, you know, and give a word an opportunity to be poured on the inside of you, and it makes transformation on the inside of you. Amen? It does. It makes a transformation on you. It's like if you're cooking something and you put the ingredients in, each ingredient makes it different, gives a different flavor to it, gives a different aspect to it. See, and you're putting the Word of God inside you. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. There's a lot in there. There's Joshua. You know, you could be reading Joshua, you know, read Colossians here. Go over to the Psalms. That's like your spice rack, you know. Go into Psalms. The Psalms, they've got all kinds of additional flavors in the Psalms. You know what? This is the first time I've heard this. Praise the Lord. Is that so? Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen? It's because you have to understand that God's Word doesn't go out void, but it accomplishes that for which He pleased and purposed. He purposed to transform you and to change you, and to put His Word on the inside of you. Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might demonstrate What is that good and perfect will of God? The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? So again, let it. Don't prevent it. Give it opportunity. You know, get yourself a place, create yourself a place where you can sit with God. Amen? It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to build a new house. Just build yourself a place. Locate a place where you and God can sit together and let the Word of Christ marinate. That's a good word. Marinate in you richly. You know, it's like when you're marinating something that you're going to put on the grill. Uh-oh, now we're going into something. You don't want to be put on the grill, right? Well, God might put you on the grill. He might let the grill at least come by you, you know. You know, maybe be like smoked salmon, you know. You don't feel the real heat, but you might get smoked. God is doing things in you. He's getting rid of the trash. He's getting rid of the stuff that's evil and wicked. And He's transforming you and changing you into His image. That's what He's doing. Amen? So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Sometimes you need to read your own handwriting. Teaching and admonishing one another. That's kind of what we were doing this morning, right? Just one another, you know, getting together. And Melissa was sharing about that. Somebody coming to you and talking to you and sharing what something the Lord had shown them. And it's something that maybe you had a part of, which is an encouragement, right? Okay. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we have the Word of God in all these forms, being able to, that we can worship Him like we were doing this morning with the songs. I appreciate Chad so much. I mean, you know, we don't have a big band, but we've got just a tender heart and somebody who could play that guitar without overwhelming the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, he's not going to tamp you down, you know. But sometimes you have to hear Him and let Him move in the way He wants to move. So here, this is such a precious time. I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. Take home, everybody, if you didn't take those with them, take one of these song sheets home with you and just meditate on those songs. You know, just meditate on those words. I can't remember the tune. Well, that's fine. Just meditate on the words, you know, and they'll encourage you and bless you. All right, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is a song the Lord may give you just in your heart. I love you, Lord. I don't even know this song. First time I ever sang it. Lord, you are so good to me. Maybe you don't carry a tune as well as the next person, but that's okay. Is that, Lord, you are so good to me. I am walking with you down this road, you know. And it just make it up. Make it up. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. And spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. How many know you have grace? You're born again, you have grace. I remember over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul's talking about his thorn. He says, I besought the Lord three times. I always preach about this. God said, I besought the Lord three times. Oh, God, get rid of this thorn. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, see, it's not the first time Paul had heard about the grace of God or even knew it. I mean, Paul was, he already written a bunch of these letters to the churches. But Paul still had a flesh. He had a body. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. And, you know, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me because of the abundance of revelations. And I besought the Lord three times that He would remove the Lord, take this thorn away. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient. Sufficient's an interesting word. It's enough. My grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. It supplies fully. My grace is a full supply. And he says, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you think you're weak, that Paul said, I will therefore most gladly rejoice. He changed his mind. He repented. Repenting is changing your mind, right? Isn't that true? Metanoia.
That's right.
Change your mind. God has a different word than the word that you're operating under. He said, change your mind. He said, now I will rather rejoice in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God's like, I don't need to take away the thorn. My grace is already there to relieve you. In other words, it may not take it away, but it'll never affect you again because you're no longer looking at the thorn. You're looking at me. Amen. You're looking at me. Always looking at me. You're not looking at the cancer here, you know, whether it goes or comes. You know, you're not looking at it. Oh, God, get this cancer out. Oh, God, get it. Because he's focusing on the thorn. He's focusing on the thorn. Quit. God said, don't focus on. Focus on my grace. Focus on my grace. Meditate. Focus. Forget focus. It sounds like a, you know, human thing. Meditate on my grace.
Amen.
And therefore, he said, therefore will I rather rejoice in my infirmities so that, what happens? The power of Christ may rest upon me. Yippee. Amen. So that's letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All right. Verse 17 there, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do. Out of your mouth or with your hands, whatever you do. Maybe you're a SpaceX engineer, you know, or whatever, you know, you might be, you know, praying for Elon, you know. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm brushing my teeth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did you do that this morning? Brushing your teeth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is whatever you do, do all in the name. There's some other things you may be doing. Just do them all in the name of the Lord Jesus. How many know God made your body? God created you. For the ground up, He created you. So do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hygiene in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's look over to Acts chapter 2. So again, we've begun with letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This is the life of the church. You know, the Lord started this message. I want you to know that the Lord can give you a message. Amen? You don't even have to be a pastor. The Lord can give you a message. Amen. If you'll get into the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, He's going to give you a word to share to your neighbor, a word to share to your family, a word to share to somebody, because you are His vessel. You, me? I thought the pastor was the vessel. No, we're going to read about that too. All right. But Acts 2, look at verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. Acts is the book of the history of the church up to and including today. You know, there's some people have a group called, a ministry group called Acts 29. Well, there's no Acts 29. Well, yes, they say, yes, there is. It's you. Acts 21 through 28 is in the Bible, but Acts 29, what would that be? It's the next chapter. It'd be you. It'd be you and you following Jesus. It'd be the story of you. Amen? So that's cool. All right. Verse 41, Acts 2:41. And when they that gladly received the word, his word, this is this is Peter of the day of Pentecost. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. That's a good bit. That's a good number. Verse 42, and they continued. And here's what the church looked like from day one. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay, how many items is there? The apostles' doctrine, one. Fellowship, two. Breaking of bread, three. And in prayers, four. So they have four things that, you know, now I'm not going to make a huge doctrine out of that. I'm just saying there's four things. You might as well find out what they are. You might as well pay attention to them. Amen. All right. So they continue, and here's how what they continued to do. They continued steadfastly. That's a good word. See, listen to the Bible. Read all the words. Now I know it's King James. It's not the Greek, but at least the King James came out of the Greek. You know, and if whether it's perfect or not, you read it. You know, you read it. And it says, they continued steadfast. There's a Greek word in there that by and large means in steadfastly or with intent and purpose and not getting distracted, right? That's what steadfastly is, isn't it? You're not going to, like you're studying for an exam. You are not going to be distracted from studying that material. Is that here? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Okay, so first of all, the apostles' doctrine, what the apostles were teaching, well, they didn't have a lot of doctrine going on quite yet. I mean, church just started this morning at 9 o'clock, right? It just started at 9 o'clock that morning. So first doctrine was Peter preaching the sermon, which is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He was crucified and he was raised again. He came out of the loins of David and ultimately came out of the loins of Abraham. And so he came from their history. He came from the history of the Jewish people. He was the promised Messiah, and he has come and he has accomplished his mission, and now you get to participate in what he did. And that's what he's telling them. That's the apostles' doctrine. And then they also got into fellowship. Fellowship means is with one another, right? Like we used to say, it's a bunch of fellows in the same ship. Fellowship is that you're joined together by a common belief or a common purpose, right? That's what fellowship is. You're gathered together because you're in the VFW. You know, you're the Veterans of Foreign Wars, or you're in the Gideons. You know, of course, that's another Christian group, but or you're in, you know, some organization. The Masons are all gathered together for their thing. You know, and so what are you saying? We're talking about getting together in fellowship. The reason you want to get in fellowship is so you can continue to encourage each other in the apostles' doctrine. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20-25, where he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. So the enemy likes to keep us apart, but the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. The assembling, that is, get together. Don't forget forsake that. Do not, as is the manner of some. Some forsake getting together. But don't do that. In other words, say for instance, COVID. COVID kind of knocked that down, you know. And the enemy wanted to knock down our meeting together. No, you can't meet together except at Walmart. You know, we could have had church at Walmart. That would have been great.
You get back together with your group, and they say, COVID really knocked us out for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's their new doctrine. And so what he says is get together. Get together regularly, right? Get together regularly, all right? And of course, you know, we have some other options, you know, today. But still, I don't care about even Zoom meetings. Those are not to be the primary meeting. The primary meeting is this. I can't hug you in a Zoom meeting, right? I can't lay hands on you in the Zoom meeting.
That's right.
So he says, come together in fellowship, breaking of bread was a big cultural thing in that culture. And how many know in Texas and Texas churches, eating is a big deal.
Right.
Well, we went to a funeral. I drove an hour and a half to get to a funeral yesterday, just eat, you know, because the person who died is not eating. Who's eating? It's the people who were celebrating that life. The people who are there. Breaking of bread is another expression of fellowship. Jesus, what's the last thing he did before he went to the cross?
He had the Last Supper.
He ate with his disciples. It was dear, precious fellowship. Amen? And part of it is you're serving one another in that, right? That's where he gave us his Last Supper, the bread and the wine. You know, they ate more than that night, I guarantee you. You know, if you've all ever been to a Shabbat dinner or a, you know, is basically what that is. It's lots of food, you know. And then, of course, then at the end of it, Jesus introduced the concept of remembering him in the body and the blood. All right. So here he is. So we're still back in Acts chapter 2. And they continue steadfastly, apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and what? Prayers. You know, he commands us to pray. Jesus prayed all the time. I mean, Jesus would go, he'd disappear, go up into a mountain to pray when you read the Gospels. You know, go when you're reading the Gospels, go through and make a note of everywhere where Jesus went out to pray. Where'd Jesus? Where'd he go? Okay, they lost him. They couldn't find him. He went off to pray. So, you know, you want to say, where's Raul? Oh, he's praying somewhere. You know, is that you want to be known for prayer. Number one is because somebody will come to you and say, you're a praying person, you know. Could you kind of talk to God for me? They do that to pastors, you know. Yeah. Hey, pastor. It's like you got to end with God. Like you got a hotline. Well, you can have a hotline too. Just sit down and pray. You got your own hotline. You know, everybody's got, it's like today. Everybody's got a cell phone, right?
Yep.
Everybody's got one. Whoop. There it is, you know. So there's your hotline right there. You got a hotline to the Holy Ghost, not your cell phone, but your spirit to spirit. You have a hotline to the heavenlies, to God Himself, to the Father. Oh, we could pray and we could talk about that too. See, the Father, Jesus said, the Father Himself loves you. It's not just Jesus kind of keeping you from the big mean Father. No, the Father, you read Matthew, and he's talking to the Jews, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking, your Father, pray in your closet, and your Father who loves you will meet your need. He will answer your prayer. Your Father in heaven. Jesus keeps saying, referring to them as your Father in heaven. You know, not Elohim, not Jehovah, your Father in heaven. He's introducing these new concepts to the Jewish people right there on the side of the mountain. He's introducing new concepts. We have a whole new concept. See, we lost it all in, you know, when they took the fruit in the garden. We started a whole new civilization. God had started one with him, based on him and fellowship with him. But then when the enemy came in, he started a whole new civilization of, here, I'm going to build a new civilization based on man and what man can do, based on man's wisdom. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, now, if you know good and evil, God knows that you, if you eat that, you'll be like him. And you'll have the knowledge, knowing good and evil. The problem is you're experiencing it. And God had no intention for you to have to experience that. He was keeping you out of that. That was a legal That was a legal concept because of the devil, because of his rebellion. But you didn't need to be a participant in that. But they bought it. They ate the fruit and bought into it. And so all of a sudden, everything that's ever been done on this planet is done based on building this building, making that glass, getting electricity. Everything that's been done in this earth, in this world, is because we remember what he said was that nothing shall be impossible to them. Nothing shall be impossible to them. Now we got nanos and stuff, got cell phones. You got all kinds of amazing, what we call amazing things. God's like, I thought of that in the last, iteration. I thought of that, long time ago, and I improved on it a long time ago. This is child's play. What we've got, what we call high technology, is just child's play. God bypassed all of this a long time ago. He bypassed, actually, it's not even time doesn't involve. Time isn't involved because God lives in eternity. Amen? I mean, we think everything's great. Wow, we've really improved because we've got time. We could look at time past, and we look at time present, and then we're looking into the future. So we've got a whole different concept, but it's all based on the devil. It's all based on the devil doing man at his best.
Didn't God invent time for us?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, to close it down. That's right. But he's man. This is man at his best, right? Everything we do is man at his best, but everything God has done for us in Christ Jesus is eternally a gift of God. It's not man at his best. Man at his best is nothing. Man at his best doesn't get you there. Man at his best doesn't get you connected with the Holy Spirit or the living God. Amen? You're just staying... occupied. The devil wants to keep you occupied. That's right. Exactly. All right. So, in prayers. So Jesus is praying. You're praying. He's teaching. Lord, teach us to pray. Yeah, and you start out with, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. That's how you start. That's how you start. But you know that you have a place in the presence of God, that he always is welcoming you to come in and worship him and to ask him to confess your sin, to confess his righteousness, to intercede, to make commitment to the Lord. Pastor Jim, our former senior pastor who's in heaven, wrote a book called Eight Parts to Daily Prayer. It's good. It's precious. You should get it. But it teaches you how to. But again, all this, eight parts to daily prayer is a framework, right? It's a framework. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught him to pray is a framework. When the building is built, what do you do with the scaffold? You take it down. So you don't need it, because now you're inside the building. You're not on the outside of the building. You're on the inside of the building, right? And you've got electricity and air conditioning, everything going on inside the building. So the building is completed. The building is being utilized for purposes. So that's your prayer life. Your prayer life, you no longer have the scaffold. You're now in the building and you're worshiping, you're praying, you're talking to God. You're doing like Jesus did. You're just talking to the Father and he's speaking to you. Amen. This is the life of the church. Amen. Now he says Acts chapter 2, verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That fear was not like terror, oh dear, God's going to get us. It was fear that is saying, wow, this God, he's big, and I don't want to miss anything he's doing. That's what the fear of God is. It's, I want to not miss anything that God is doing. I want to be with Him. I don't want to miss anything. Hebrews tells us, he says, let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Give the more earnest heed. This is chapter 4, I think, verse 1. Let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't let them slip. Don't let them get away from you. Amen. God will help you. So fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done. So when fear comes upon every soul, the signs and wonders get done. When people fear God, you know, we probably don't have a lot of signs and wonders because we don't have a lot of fear of God. Huh? You need to read every word in the verse. It's important to read every word in the verse. It'll help you. It'll give revelation to you. Verse 44, and all that believed were all together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So people sold things to bless one another as they had need. It didn't mean they sold everything all the time. It meant there were needs. And they parted their needs among people. If you have what somebody needs, you bless them. Care for them. Help them. Verse 46, and they continuing daily, here we go, this is the church, right? Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So in a large corporate gathering and in house gatherings. There were house gatherings. They gathered in people's homes, all right? We had a home meeting. I had a home meeting last night, you know, invite people over. You know, bless them. Give them something to eat. Give them a coffee or something, whatever works. And but then share with one another all these same things we read back in verse 42. And did eat their meat, verse 46, last half of the verse, from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. With gladness and saying these meetings were encouraging. They were and they had one mind and one heart. The Bible talks about that, having one mind together. That is the mind of Christ. Having our mind, having your loins girt about with truth. That is the loins girt over in Peter. It talks about gird up the loins of your mind. Well, your mind's got loins. That's weird. Yeah, but gird up the loins of your mind. Get your mind settled that the truth is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, praising and verse 47. So meeting, eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people, all the believers, with one another. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. All right? So there you go. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 gives us some leadership and encouragement, and this almost sounds a little self-serving because if you're the pastor or multiple pastors in our church, we have multiple pastors. Y'all see them, you know, from time to time. Raul's one of our pastors here. And David Borchert, you usually will see him once every few weeks, and I'll be over here. And then once in a while, you'll see David Cooper. Once in a while, you'll see Jeff Flood. And then we've got another brother who's also the worship leader over in Fort Worth, which is Paul McLemore. He usually doesn't make it over here because he's leading worship over there. So, but we have these pastors who have been that we've had laid hands on them. We've seen them as we have raised them up, discipled them as over many years as leaders in the church. Raul's been with us for, I mean, gosh, since 2000 or something, you know, since he was five. No. But looking at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, says this, as believers, now you remember we're talking about meeting in the church, meeting daily and from house to house. He says also, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their life, their manner of living, how you see them live, watching them live. Jesus, and then the verse after that is interesting, is that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So right after verse 7, talking about elders, those that have the rule over you, he's talking about pastors, talking about elders, you know, and again, you know, so I'm up here talking about pastors and elders and say, obey them. Well, I guess that means obey us or obey me. But obey me as in so much as you see the Holy Spirit leading me and giving you good counsel and the Word of God. Now, you may not agree with some of my counsel because my counsel is coming against your sin. Amen. You know, and not that I don't have. I've got plenty too. I got my own sins. I've messed up, and we do things wrong. But God has set us as pastors into a place of responsibility to raise up and to grow up people, and that's why you're here. That's why you're here. You're here amongst each other, but you also have pastors or elders who have elders meaning just old people. Sorry, Raul. Old people, people who've been in the walk for a while, who know the Lord and who know the ways of the Holy Spirit. And you're free to come and you're free to go, but once you join yourself to a place, ask the Lord, is this the place where you want me to submit, not to anything other than to grow under Jesus? You're not submitting yourself to, you know, do things, to wash my car or to, you know, stuff like that, or cook my dinner or even take me to dinner. You know, if I'm the dad, if I'm the father, I'm here to love you, to bless you, and to fill you up with the love of God and the power of God. And I don't want you following me around. What I want you to do is like a parent tells a kid, get up, learn how to work and go and make your own living, and that way you're going to be a blessing to the people of God around you. My kids all work. My kids are all off and married. They don't live at my house. But eventually, your goal is because you want your kids actually to come and take care of you later, like we're taking care of Janet's mama, you know. And so we're taking care of Janet's 90-year-old mama, taking her to JCPenney, you know. So we raise up our kids so that they're making the living for themselves. They walk with the Lord for themselves. Amen. And so we're here to teach you guys to walk with the Lord for yourselves. Have your own relationship. That's what Jesus said. You remember Jesus? He said, I'm going away. Whoa. What? I thought you was coming to kind of be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and kind of take over Israel and beat Rome. And I thought that's what you was coming to. And Jesus tells them, no, I'm going to go away. Y'all going to take this. And they're just like blinking. they had no idea. What are you talking about? No. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to send this Holy Spirit guy. What's the Holy Ghost? What is that? I don't even know what that is. I don't think I want that. Yeah, he said, and he's telling them the night before he's leaving. Don't you love it when people do that? Is that here you are, here you are all of a sudden, and somebody's going to tell you, oh, by the way, did I tell you I'm leaving tonight? Wait, whoa. No, you didn't tell me that. See, Jesus said, I'm leaving tonight. But he'd been telling them that. You remember that? But they never could get it. They never could quite remember that Jesus is going to, I'm going to go away and you're going to be with the Holy Spirit and I'm not going to be here anymore with you. The Son of Man must be killed, you know, and they didn't want to hear it. You ever had that? You didn't want to hear it. You just don't want to hear it, so you don't hear it. You don't listen. All right, so here, he's given pastors and elders to train you up because I'm going to die. I am going to die. I am going to go the way of all flesh, okay? But you are going to be here, and you're going to continue. You're going to continue to raise up disciples and to raise up other men. Whether you're a pastor or not, doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. What it matters is you're a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are bringing people into the kingdom, such every daily, adding to the church daily, such as should be saved. All right, so that verse. Then look at, that was Hebrews 13, 7. Here's Hebrews 13, 14. For here we have no continuing city. We don't have a permanent home here. This is further down in Hebrews chapter 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate or share with others, to give to others, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Verse 17, again, is a reiteration of the eldership command. It says, obey them. So he says, in chapter verse 7, he said, remember them which have the rule over you. Here he actually says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is profitable for you. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is profitable for them. No, it's profitable for you to obey the authority that God has put over you. Remember what he told? He said, children, obey your
parents.
Thank you. Children, obey your parents. I like interactive. Is children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. For there is long life. It's the only commandment with promise. For you shall live long on the earth. All right? So he's saying all of these things. So your obedience to elders should be, and their commands to you are to know the Lord and cast your cares upon him and flee youthful lusts. Don't put yourself in positions where the enemy can get a hold of you. That's the obedience that he's talking about. He's not talking about washing my car. He's not talking about, you know, giving me a bunch, you know. I mean, you know, he says, give offerings to support the work of the ministry, the ox, feed the, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. If the guy is studying, spending all his time studying the word and coming and preparing a meat for you, yeah, support the guys, support the pastors in the church. Amen. Do that. But it is, again, the obedience is not wicked stuff or stupid stuff. The obedience is to follow the Lord, to read the word. When the pastor tells you, confess your sin. When he tells you to read the word, read the word. When he tells you to come to church, come to church. Amen? Praise the Lord. When he tells you to love your neighbor, love your neighbor. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's finish up. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll show you the source. I probably could have done this a different way, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said do it this way. It's Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So he gave these gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, pastor is just one of them. Pastor is a shepherd, okay? A pastor is a shepherd, is an elder. They're all the same. It's the same thing. A bishop honestly, a bishop is just an overseer. The Greek word for bishop is overseer. Pastor is a shepherd. Elder is a old person, you know. And so pastors, elders, bishops, pastor is actually is not even an English word, you know. Shepherd is the English word, but pastor is Latin word is actually the pastor, you know. So all of those words mean the same thing. It's just an overseer in the church, somebody with love and experience in the church. Okay, so he gave some, and then apostles are sent ones. Prophets are those who the Holy Spirit speaks to in a direct and regular fashion for the purpose of ministering to the church the word of the Lord for a given time. Some evangelists, that's a good news person. That's a person who preaches the good news. Amen? So an evangelist, Billy Graham, is a good example of an evangelist. There are many evangelists. So instead of teaching doctrine like pastors typically teach doctrine and kind of raising you up like a parent, evangelists are basically beginning with preaching to the outside world, hey, Jesus Christ has come and he died for your sins and you're full of them and God is giving you mercy. That's the good news. The good news is you're a sinner and God loves you. That's the good news. There's bad news and good news, and the evangelist has to bring both. And finally, he says, and pastors and teachers, pastors who teach. Pastors are required to be able to teach, to break down the scriptures, as we're doing today. I believe that's my call, is to be a pastor, to be a teacher, somebody who can break down the scripture and apply it to various parts of your life. Amen? So, keeping going here, and we'll wrap up. He gave all of these guys, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That's y'all. People who are born again are now saints. They're no longer wicked in their hearts. They have been born again. Now, do you still have some sins? Yeah. But we're getting rid of those. We're getting rid of those. The Holy Spirit is getting rid of those. Amen? You can depend on the Holy Spirit to get rid of your sin. All of a sudden you'll wake up and the Holy Spirit is, all of a sudden, I don't even have that desire anymore. That's right. It's, you know, wow. And if you still see sin, say, Jesus, show me my sin. And would you get rid of it, please? Would you set me free from it? Now, because a lot of times sin is, there's pleasure in sin for a season, right? But Jesus, take away the pleasure of it because I know it's killing me. Maybe I'm overeating. Maybe I'm giving myself over to sexual sins. Maybe I'm giving myself over to maybe I'm an angry person. And I think I need to get other people because they make me angry. No! Let the Holy Spirit take all of that away from you. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's what these ministry gifts are for. So they're going to perfect us. For the work of the ministry. We do the work of the ministry as believers. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying like we talked about in Acts 2:42. Fellowship and edifying and building up one another. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or complete. The word perfect means complete man. Or woman. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Last couple of verses. That so that we're no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Men are waiting to deceive you. But rather, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, every one of you is a joint, every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Now, I want you to take that section, Ephesians 4, 11 through 17, 16. And I want you to read that, and I want you, especially verse 15 and 16, read those things, and then come back and tell me what you've heard. Come back and tell me what you've heard about it. Amen? Because it tells you in verse 16, that's how it's all put together. It's almost like putting together a Tesla. The effectual working of every part. And it ends up in the body edifying itself in love. Amen. Amen. All right.
Amen.